Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to the study session, May City Council, for Thursday, March 5th, 2009. We'll begin with agenda item number one, hear a presentation by Downtown Mesa Association, provide feedback on a preliminary downtown vision. We're going to turn the discussion over to Ms. Krista Russell, DMA Board Chair, and Mr. Tom Verplugen.
Good morning, Mayor. Thank you for allowing us to come to the council this morning and make our presentation. Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council Member, I'm Crystal Russell. I am current chair of the Downtown Mesa Association. I am a property owner on Main Street, and I have another adjoining property. I've been downtown for over 10 years now. I am actually ending my term in June. Freddie Curry will be my successor as chair, and of course Tom Verplugen is our president. We would like at this time to thank Vice Mayor Kyle Jones for his wonderful participation in our board as our liaison to council. He's served for as long as I've been on the board, and it's been an invaluable resource to have someone who is connected with the downtown who is actually a liaison to our board. This year, Downtown Mesa Association is celebrating its 25th anniversary. It is a not-for-profit corporation, a 501c6. It allows it to carry on as a representative entity for the downtown merchants, the downtown property owners, and the downtown business owners. We have a very broad constituency. Our board is 34 members. It has a broad cross-section of Downtown Mesa businesses. It's economic-driven. It is very involved in the community. We also try outreach to bring as many people into our meetings and our planning process. Our meetings are always open to everyone. They are on Wednesday mornings at 7:30 once a month approximately. We are always open. We try to have the Tribune there. We try to have anyone in the community that we want and that who wants to attend. It does represent the original square mile, so it's approximately Country Club to University to Mesa Drive to Broadway. And in that square mile, there's a wide variety of businesses, and we actively reach out to all of them. We actively reach out to all of the community. Tom will present a PowerPoint this morning, which will describe our vision for Mesa in the future. But to just help you understand our organization and what we are and who we are, we, for the past 10 years, have involved in a number of very, very significant projects. We had a branding project about 4 or 5 years ago, which resulted with our brand, which we have registered as a U.S. trademark, and it's the tree with downtown, a square mile of unique style. And that has allowed us to have some identity. We have developed a preliminary vision of what we would like to see happen in downtown Mesa. And in doing this, it was initially an internal-only action where we were talking about what we as business owners and property owners wanted to see happen in downtown Mesa in the future. We're very, very blessed on our board to have a wide variety of talents. We have architects, we have attorneys, we have business owners, and people who are very, very much involved in the community. And we've used that talent. And we've used it not only in the branding process initially, and then we reach out to the community. So when we have tried to put together our projects, we've involved as many people for as much as we can. This particular project did start in-house. And it was submitted to the city, and there was a follow-up meeting between representatives of DMA and the mayor and the vice mayor in approximately July, at which time Mayor Smith threw it right back at me and said, put together a vision. Give us something that shows really what your vision is. And so as a board, we went back and we really, really worked hard on putting together not the final plan by all means, but a preliminary plan which incorporates at least the participants' view. This was very broad. I mean, all of our board meetings and everything go to about 100 people. Beyond the board, we have had community meetings. We've had several of our committees working internally. We've had the whole board meet several times in putting together our vision of this particular downtown, not today, but downtown tomorrow. And we're all very excited about it. And we all envision the light rail coming and being a very, very big part of downtown development. But we're not naive, and we don't believe that our vision is ours alone. It's a community vision, and it's not just downtown. It's all of Mesa, because this is the face of Mesa. Now, Tom Verpligen's going to go through the slide program. My successor, Freddie Curry, if he shows, we'll talk about how we would propose to expand our plan and expand the process in getting as much input as possible. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tom Verpligen.
Thanks, Crystal. I'm going to go through a PowerPoint fairly quickly, because you have a number of the handout information that gets into a little bit more detail. But before we talk about the vision, I think staff wanted us to kind of refamiliarize you with the corporation and the different services we have. As Crystal mentioned, we're 25 years old, incorporated in 1984. The City of Mesa and the Downtown Mesa Association formed the first downtown improvement district in Arizona. There's about another six or seven cities that have taken that lead and done the same thing. And our mission is really dedicated to economic growth and business and residential development through a lot of strategies. As Crystal mentioned, we have a board of 34 members, a lot of alliances in terms of what we do with collaboration, obviously advocating for certain policies and projects and programs. We have an annual priorities program. But we're very aware that it's a public, private, and nonprofit collaboration. And really our motto is build it, they will come. And that's really the public sector and the private sector, and manage it, they'll stay, is where our corporation comes in from a management standpoint for the square mile. And we have a small staff, nine folks, basically allocated 4.5 to the field and then 4.5 in terms of the office in terms of promotion, marketing, and management. And who we serve, as Crystal mentioned, there's about a dozen different business categories, whether it's industrial or automotive, retail, office, finance. There's a variety of different businesses. There's about 450 businesses and 250 commercial property owners that we represent. And year-round services, you have the handout here, but go through a few of those, kind of 20 highlights that we have. Obviously, when new businesses come in, provide them with a good orientation, a new business kit for the downtown square mile, as well as our services. The publicity and exposure, I think you're well aware of the downtown focus. Dave Wilson, our communications coordinator, and he's here, does a great job with about 20 publications. We call this our big press release. It's about 2 months' coverage in terms of time, and we generate a tremendous amount of coverage from especially the Republic and the Tribune and Channel 3 particularly, but other channels as well. And then a lot of different publications we have, the Dining Guide and Shopping Guide, giving these out to conventioners and at the hotels and different information booths. The Dining Guide especially is well used. Do a lot of press releases to follow up on some of the different activities. And I think you'll see that in some of the, like one of the articles last week in terms of the media. We have a good relationship with them, being aware of the different events and activities that are going on downtown. Of course, our website, I think we get about 300 hits a day. But more and more people are using our website and going to that for different activities. And you see the Hot Rods event here. That received some good coverage last week as well. Work with the city on the street banners and then the actual sponsors for the light pole banners. And the across the street banners, that's something that we actually put up, but it helps promote the different events. And you can see the Henson event there is being promoted. Sidewalk kiosks. A lot of times what we do with the city is the city provides the kiosks. There's 8 kiosks downtown. There's people calling for more of those, but the city a lot of times does the hardware, and we kind of do what we call the software. We provide and update the information on the kiosk and the banners and those type of things. We have direct mail services for a lot of the businesses. Just tens of thousands of different bulk mail go out to folks that the businesses use. If you're familiar with the sculpture program, the permanent sculpture program, of course, the baseball boys there right now are up at Hohokam. They were sponsored by the city and Hohokam and the Cubs. We have three others that we lease out at Riverview, helps pay for some maintenance back for the program. We'll come back with the annual sculpture in the streets when sponsorship allows that. So I think that's a good program. Again, event facilitation. We facilitate over 60 events a year, whether it's MacFest or Friday Night Out or Old West Days or the Hot Rods, as the case may be. But there's a lot of activities that we help facilitate from an administrative and logistics and operations and press releases and publicity on those different events.
Tom, just real quickly, when you use the word facilitate, and you mentioned just a little bit some of the things you do, do you see the DMA as being a primary player in that? It almost seems like you're more of a support player in that than a primary player. A facilitator doesn't really drive the event, it sort of supports the event. Is that what you're trying to say?
That'd be correct, Mayor. I think we have a facilitation sheet of the services we offer, but we're a support secondary player to that. The actual merchants organized Friday Night Out. There's a hot rod organizer. They actually organize the events, and then we help. Like I said, when I say facilitate, we have a specific sheet of all the things that we can help them with.
Do you see that? I mean, I guess I'm having a little bit of a hard time getting a handle on that role, and maybe I'm missing something, because it would seem like the Downtown Association should be the driver of some of these events rather than simply a support group on some of these events or a facilitator. I mean, what's been the thought process? I'm assuming you've had these kind of discussions over the years, and we have,
Mayor, as a property owner organization that is assessment a square mile. A lot of the property owners aren't affected, primarily by the specific special events. So we really haven't had the support to increase the assessment to pay for a special event.
I'm not even asking about paying for a special event. I'm asking about, being the driver, and maybe if you had sponsors or others come in to pay. I guess I'm just trying to understand if I'm a property owner down there, one of the ways that I increase the viability and increase the visibility of the area in which I live or have my business is to bring people down there, to create an environment of activity. And, it seemed like one of the main functions of an association would be to create that kind of atmosphere. And if we're just facilitating leaving it up to them, it seems like there's something missing there. And maybe I'm missing something.
Mayor, if I can respond to, I think it's both. I think in all fairness that we have led a number of events. Certainly we've been the driving force for the sculptures and Mary Main Street and a lot of the other events. Many of those were sponsor-driven. Sponsorship has pretty much dried up. What we do now is we help people put on the events, and we have a very strong merchants group within our group that leads a lot of these events, such as Friday Night Out, was all merchant-driven. We help the merchants get insurance. We help them get city permits if required. We help them take and cooperate with the city to have the event. We arrange for publication. So our role has both been as a sponsor leading the way and as a facilitator helping the charge after it's been implemented by other people.
And I can appreciate that. I think one of the missing gaps, and I'm sort of new, other than being a lifelong observer in downtown and participant, so I'm not pretending to get into the details of the discussions that have gone on because I haven't been privy to those. But one of the things I see is it seems like there's a gap there. It seems like there's not somebody who is driving these things. I mean, I've seen the successful events like the Hot Rod, and I know there are other groups who come in, but it seems like what we're missing downtown is just that one group that just grabs the bull by the horns and runs with it and drives it. And I can understand and appreciate the fact that you have maybe debate within your own organization, but I think we're missing the boat there. I think it was interesting, for example, one of the things I've talked about is we have spring training here, and we have all these thousands of people coming into our city and that are just a mile or so away from downtown, and we're not fully taking advantage of the fact they're here visiting, and we're not doing everything we can to drive downtown. I know there are efforts going on, but I went to a game the other day and walked out and was amazed that there's nothing in the proximity of Hohokam Park, either on-site or off-site, that would drive people to downtown or make them even know that they're there. Now, I'm not criticizing you for that, but I'm saying it seems like there's groups that are waiting for someone to do something, and yet we're missing out on a lot of opportunities. So I guess one thing I'd like to see is maybe you need to discuss within your group whether it's what role or what expanded role you might take. And you know, like I said, maybe that's something your group isn't up to doing because of lack of funds or lack of resources or whatever. But I'd like to know if you have that discussion, what the result is. I really think we're missing out on opportunities to bring people into downtown, which creates that energy and that vibrancy.
We have had many discussions, and we have had strong recommendations within the board to have a person who would be dedicated to arranging and organizing events. It's not going to be in the budget for a long time. I mean, basically, to provide the services that we are, which is the maintenance and the graffiti removal and those kinds of things, takes almost our entire budget. So there isn't anything. And the events are all volunteer-driven now with the help of sponsorship. And to the extent that the sponsorship has dried up, it has meant that some of the events have gone away as well.
And Mayor, we have surveyed out our constituency in terms of the special events. I mean, it's something that, you know, as a staff and as a board, it's something we want to do. I think you're right. We can go back out and look at it. I think it's a financial question. And we've always tried to figure out how do we get a special event coordinator, and I think we could leverage from there in terms of, but it's been a financial one from an assessment or from a sponsorship, and the sponsorships aren't consistent. So I think it's one of those that we'll go back out and look at it, and it's maybe, again, in terms of collaborative, it's how we figure out how to do it from both public, private, and nonprofit together. Because I think you're right. It's important, and it's very much geared to what our vision is also, and you'll see some of that.
Well, I just think that maybe there, as part of that discussion, you know, I don't know what the chicken and what the egg is. I mean, I think you guys do a great job of making our downtown clean. I get a lot of good comments from people about how clean it is, how orderly, and that's the important thing. You know, if you bring a lot of people into a place that looks like trash, it doesn't matter how good you're doing, it's just not going to win. So I applaud your the efforts and the results of what you've done, because we do have a very nice downtown. I guess I think we're sort of missing it, though, that somehow we expect drive-by development to happen, and that's not life. That's just not reality. You're not going to have people come into a clean downtown and say, oh, gee, I want to be there. There's got to be this sense that it's a happening place. Not only is it a clean and orderly and attractive place, but it's got to have the sense that it's a happening place. And the number one comment I get is that people don't get that buzz. Not that special events two or three or four times a year all of a sudden change the perception, but I think that activity, whatever role that is, whether it's through three or four or five special events, 50 special events, whatever it is, activity creates buzz, creates energy. And I think that's one thing we're missing. So I would propose that you go back to your membership and talk to them seriously about, I think they're missing the boat. And whether that's through some assessment, whether it's talking with us about how we might share our resources, as limited as they are, through personnel or through existing activities we have to coordinate with that. Because, you know, once again, the city of Mesa is the largest landowner in downtown. We have a vested interest in seeing this place grow also. So just throw that out. I know it's a challenge for you. I know there have been efforts, and I know it's in many ways somewhat of a controversial feel, and there's people who feel that they don't benefit from it. So,
Mayor, there is the fact, too, that we are a special improvement district, mm-hmm. and the law does set some sort of limitations on what we can do, and it is the maintenance, the cleanliness, and those types of things that are our primary function under the law. The events, which have never been controversial internally, have always wanted to do events. and it has been a necessary outcome that the events have been volunteer-driven because we do not have the resources, nor do we have the means within the law to take and expand our special assessment to include such things as event organization. And so we would have some very real limitations on that.
You can ask the question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Before you move on.
Councilor Higgins.
I don't understand that whole, what you just said, under the law. Can someone explain how that's set up?
Special improvement districts are a creation of statute under Arizona law, which allows us to have a special assessment, which helps fund our organization. We are not only a 501c6, which gives us an entity, but we are a 501c6 organization that is a special assessment district, and that funds our operations. And those operations, as I understand the law, say that we can provide additional services that the city could not provide or would need help in providing, such as cleanliness, safety, and those types of things.
So, I understand the City of Mesa funds a lot of that portion. So what's the, we have like parking management and that other.
It won't take me too long. If I can get through in a week, I'll give you the good overview, and then I think it would help.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
It'd be helpful for the discussion.
Is that okay, Councilman Kavanaugh? Okay, because Councilman Kavanaugh has a question too. And then we can come back to this and see exactly what we got.
And I think in terms of our overall services, I think business development, obviously in terms of recruiting businesses, we've recruited or marketed or retained over 150 businesses during the 25 years, about six a year. Matter of fact, this slide right here, somebody went on our bus tour, was interested in downtown at the upper top there, and they actually bought the old Maribank that had been vacant for 15 years. And then I know the firefighters just bought the other property there on Center, so we'll have to update those slides. But again, in terms of business development, this is a handout that you have. Is we use the downtown marketing brochure as part of our kits when we actually try to recruit businesses. I actually go out and we identify certain segments and recruit different businesses into the downtown. And here's some examples, as well as developers over the years. There's been a number of those type examples, especially destination type retail and offices. Councilmember Higgins mentioned about public space management. We actually have a separate contract with the city for for parking management. That's throughout the entire square mile, the different lots and garages. We do event management at the Mesa Arts Center. I think we netted you about $63,000 last year. We're also interested in having the monitors out there to kind of keep that area safe at night when those events are going on. And then we do parking enforcement, making sure that the long-term, the employees aren't parking in the most convenient customer spaces. Cleanliness and maintenance, obviously in terms of dealing with different things with homeless debris or graffiti, usually a couple hundred different places within the quarter for graffiti, cleaning out vacant lots for some absentee property owners and they pay an assessment, or just even a lot of illegal dumping in the downtown area. But we fill up about 20 of those stretched dumpsters every quarter. Crime prevention, working with all the way from the police chief down to the bike patrol and the commander for the district and their crime prevention on different things within this square mile. Really have a pretty safe downtown. And then our liaison roles with the city and the private sector in terms of planning, zoning, and some of those type of things. That's pretty much where I come in, being a former city planner, and some of what we're going to talk about today. I think in terms of looking back at vision, if you look back for the last 30 years, there's been 300 new commercial developments and major renovations, a net gain of 240 businesses, and more than 1,000 new or major renovated residents. And I think, as you can see from the map, what this is basically saying, I think some folks come to us and they still look at downtown Mesa and they say, is the glass half empty or half full? And I always like to say it depends on whether you're drinking or pouring. And I think in the city's case and the private sector have poured a lot into downtown over the last 25 years. So we have a great foundation to work from. I mean, we're clean, we're safe. I think we're well parked. We have available property. So there's a lot of pluses when you look at this map. I think the foundation is good. What we haven't done is the kind of the intensity and density that we're going to look at for the future. You know, 25 years ago, if you looked at an old vacant Bash's store, would you have thought of it as a world-class children's museum? Some of the things with the Henson exhibit that the Smithsonian Institute brought, the tremendous work that the city has done on the colonnade as well as the streetscape in terms of Main Street and some of the adjoining streets has been tremendous. It's a redevelopment project with the former Valley Bank and now the One McDonald public-private partnership. And, of course, another private was the Burge Building, the rework of the Paul Sale. Has about 10 different businesses in there now. That's that office and retail, that mixed use, some that we're talking about, as well as redevelopment Site 8, the city redevelopment project, Mesa Public Schools, Mesa Bank. Another mixed use was the parking garage with the Centennial Way with the Business and Industry Institute. And, of course, the Marriott, the city, and the Convention and Visitors Bureau and our corporation work with the folks that were actually buying this at the time, doing their due diligence. They came in and bought it and did about $14 million in renovation. And, of course, if you were looking back 25 years ago, would you have thought about a near $100 million art center that was publicly supported you know, through an election? So I think that's some of the things we have to look kind of back at as we go. And in terms of our corporation, we looked at the word. We just said if you had to pick one word, what would it be for vision? And we said it would be vibrant. If you look it up in the dictionary, vibrant means pulsating with life and activity. And it's really geared more to people rather than just places and things. And in terms of our vision, of course, being an economic business development corporation, you know, first thing that our board, and as Crystal mentioned, this is kind of a micro vision from, we wanted to get our act together. We have 34 very diverse board members. You know, what do we think? So economically healthy, kind of a community downtown that's growing and vital. And we actually broke up our the concept plan, the 29-page document, into six elements there, the live, work, play, shop, dine, learn, invest. There's hundreds of tactics that we've identified with that. Our planning template was visioning, and more so with the mayor, we moved that up front. I think when we looked at the concept plan, we moved the visioning part through his and Kyle's direction, the visioning, vision elements, specific strategies, transformative projects, and then actually putting those projects, looking at project concepts and locations and implementation tactics. And I'll go through those. You have the vision guide, so you can see the particulars there. But those five elements, kind of from vibrant, we were looking at a flourishing downtown, pedestrian-friendly, diverse, unique, collaborative. And in terms of flourishing, really looking again from that economic as well as that at nighttime, that people generation type thing in terms of liveliness and activity. Pedestrian friendly, obviously the light rail, we anticipate the light rail is going to come on Main Street when you look at the variables that the Metro folks are looking at. But making downtown more walkable, and that's being a first priority.
I'm not going to let you just fly by that one comment. You expect light rail to be on Main Street. Is that the official opinion of the...
It's not now because we are like you, we're waiting for the Metro, but I think from the information that they've shown from the cost and the directness of route, and you'd have to use eminent domain, and there's a number of factors that I think are going to dictate that it's going to be on Main Street, and I think our board will take that into consideration. I think the Metro folks are supposed to make a presentation to us this month or next. But I think, you know, I think it's it, from the things that I've seen and the different aspects of that, it looks like it would be, you know, it's going to make the most sense.
That's your gut call based on what you've heard so far?
Right.
Okay.
In terms of their latest presentations.
Vice Mayor?
I'll jump in here because the initial knee-jerk reaction was no way, no how, and it was contentious to a point. But I think as people understand the possibilities, looking at the realities of things, that stance has softened quite a bit. And we're all waiting for the report, but I think what you're saying is you're not taking an official position as much as everybody's had a chance to really digest and look at the realities. and there's not quite the severe opposition that there initially was.
And I'm also speaking from as a professional planner, but again, as Crystal mentioned, we have 34 board members throughout the district. Some folks wanted it to come on First Street. They're on First Street. They wanted some on First Avenue. Some didn't want it on Main accordingly. But, and I think we may have been criticized for saying, well, why did you do this micro planning process? I'm going, we better figure out our 34 board members. And it's very board driven. A lot of times I hear it's Tom's board. And I think anybody on the board knows it's very independent. It's board driven. That we wanted to make sure with our vision that we had our act together before we went out to the kind of for a broader community.
So you haven't taken an official stance on it yet?
We're still waiting for the formal report, but I would think in terms of what I've seen in terms of their presentations
that's where,
and their discussions that it's going to make the most sense on Main Street.
Okay.
And then, as I mentioned, a diverse downtown, again, concentrating on people. The mixed use and the culturally and generatively inclusive, unique downtown in terms of kind of getting what the mayor was talking about, some of the events and the different things for the having special events in a broader way to make
Tom,
the downtown.
What was that a picture of?
That was Mary Main.
That's what I thought.
Mary Main at nighttime.
That's what I thought. A lot of people down there.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous amount.
Okay.
And collaborative downtown, seeing in terms of even our own business culture and sense of community, and 10 transformative projects that we think. Obviously, the light rail. When you look at the US 60 being pulled out about 30 years ago, 30 plus years ago, that was the major arterial that of why downtown a major decline. Now, when the light rail comes in 40 years later, you're going to have that major regional arterial coming back into it. So we think that's going to be the major thing that revives downtown in terms of a regional link. We think the city ought to adopt a master municipal building plan, look at consolidating buildings and going more vertical. If you do that, you'll have about 50 acres. As the mayor mentioned, the city's the number one landowner in downtown. If you have 50 acres, a lot of that is mixed use and could be residential. We're looking at some of the residential being at about 40 units an acre. You could add a couple thousand residential units. Tailoring a building rehab code. Subdividing some of the larger oversized buildings. There's still about a dozen buildings on Main Street. Developing that unique and inviting.
Tom, getting back to that, and I hate to interrupt. Have you or your organization been involved with the city's efforts to try and figure out code obstacles or regulatory obstacles to subdividing those buildings and to developing those buildings? Have you been involved in that process at all?
Not most recently, Mayor. We're aware of some of it, but we actually brought the gentleman that did the New Jersey building code, which was rehabilitation code here. And I know the city went through a couple of reiterations. I think it got a little watered down in the process, and we probably need to take another look at that because I think the city was looking at it kind of citywide, and I think we need to look at it from a kind of a redevelopment area.
I would suggest you specifically get with the city because I know there have been some initiatives recently to try and do a walkthrough, which would be to, I know we chose one building, and the idea was we would say, okay, let's create this this study, this case study, which says we're going to develop this building, and let's say it's 12 West, you know, one of the big boxes down there. What would be the items within our current regulatory framework that would be an obstacle to somebody developing this, whether it be, you know, fire and safety, or whether it be building code, or whether it be sign or zoning? I can see any of those things that could create a major obstacle for an investor or a developer coming in to want to split those up. I would suggest that you get with Shelley or Mr. Brady and figure out who exactly is or where that is right now, because many of your board members, most of them are obviously business owners down there. They own and property owners. They own buildings. They know better than anyone else what those obstacles are, because one of our major efforts, I think, is to eliminate unintended consequences of regulation, to find viable alternatives where you could achieve the public safety and building safety objectives without perhaps having to adopt 2009 standards, which are intended to meet new buildings and really create huge issues with existing or older buildings. And we recognize this exists, and part of our one of our primary objectives and initiatives as a city is to reduce regulatory overload. We understand that that creates obstacles to investment, and that's especially true in downtown. So the more you can be involved in working with our staff, who is already in the middle of this, in identifying those items where we could, those items that create problems, where we can find. And once again, it's not to eliminate the standards. We still have to protect the public. We don't want people in buildings that are not safe. We don't want people in buildings where there's a fire hazard. But we recognize there are alternatives to what might be stated in the code, and there's no way we can work around that without the input of those business owners and property owners who know their buildings and their businesses certainly better than we do, and have run up against these obstacles more often than we're aware of. So please, if you can reach out and get as involved as possible in as formal a way as possible, it would help our efforts a lot.
We will, Mayor, and I think the key is basically subdividing some of those buildings into space. Most of the marketable spaces are at about 2,000 square feet. The 12 West is 7,500 up and down. The key is how to figure out to subdivide them.
Yeah, you subdivide them, and all of a sudden you have ingress-egress issues, you have fire safety issues, you have sprinkler issues, you have parking issues, you have all those kind of things that all of a sudden creep up when instead of having one 6,000 square foot building, you now have three 2,000 square foot buildings, and people don't realize that through that construction you run into a myriad of issues that we'd like to help you, meaning the business owners and property owners, overcome, because that's how we'll attract investment, is to make that as simple and straightforward as we possibly can. And we recognize that doesn't exist all the time right now. We get that. What we need to know is how we can take that step to getting to where we find that nice balance between the needs and the demands of public safety with the needs and requirements of increased investment and business activity.
Mayor, I will personally commit to work on that project.
If you would, because yeah. You know we certainly don't have all the answers. We have a lot of questions, but we need your input and we need your help to get us there, because we'll all benefit from that.
And I think our board will be very willing to undertake this project,
okay,
because
good.
This is something that we all recognize must be done.
Great. And that goes beyond, just so you know, that goes beyond just the big boxes and the splitting. I mean, we have zoning restrictions and land use restrictions. Basically, you're one giant infill. And we recognize that there are other issues that would apply to most any one of your property owners within the square mile. So just don't think it's along Main Street. It could be a house that needs to be rehabbed, or a building that wants to be knocked down, or, you know, but there's a myriad of problems and challenges within the square mile that affect nearly every property owner you have, and we recognize that.
And just real quick, in terms of finishing up, I think the walkable public realm. This is a shot, obviously, of the shadow walk at the Mesa Arts Center. But there's a lot of east-west, north-south connections in downtown that we can make a lot more walkable. And then I think evaluate Latino Hispanic marketplace. Obviously, demographics in West Mesa have changed considerably. Matter of fact, this was one of the ideas. The late Bob Samish was really big on having an area not only for local folks, but also kind of as a tourism area. And attractions in terms of higher education facilities. There's a lot of private schools and training institutes, and a lot of things available in terms of the market, I think, would match for downtown. The see and be seen, we have a lot of different strategies related to that. Even increasing downtown's sphere of influence, a couple mile radius around downtown, some of the things that we could help for neighborhoods. In the back of that, and I won't go into the details of the vision document, there's about 22 major concepts. I think overall they're tied to city facilities, the mixed use, and the higher density are some of the main items in here. But we want to take a lot of those different transformative projects and some of the things we talked about and actually fit them onto a location in the downtown area. Again, that's all tied to that word vibrant. How do you make it, just more pulsating, live, and active? And I'm not sure if Freddie Curry, apologize for him not being here. He must have gotten tied up. But overall, again, that planning template that we used, if you, again, from a micro basis, and I think when we talked with the mayor, taking a look at from a macro basis to take it further out to the city, to the community, the downtown stakeholders. That's the planning template that we would use. We actually picked this up from some pretty sharp consultants that were working on a Denver plan as part of the International Downtown Association, some of the network that I have. But what we would recommend from a community outreach and public input, if you wanted us to facilitate this in more of a macro way, is actually spend the 6-month period talking with and meeting with different city officials and the city staff, the downtown stakeholders, holding a number of community forums, meeting with the different economic development nonprofits, whether it's the Chamber, Convention and Visitors Bureau, the EDAB group, et cetera, and doing the follow-ups. And there's a sheet in there more specific in terms of the number of meetings. We do this through email and direct mail, advertising in terms of some of the meeting notices, the press releases, obviously through our web. And your city planning office was very helpful in providing us kind of a template of what they've done, like with the West Main Street plan. And we used a lot of the information they have in terms of the timing as well as the different methodology. And I'm sure we'd be working with a point person from the planning office in regards to that. Overall, we'd look to come back to you in November with a presentation to City Council to explain to you what we thought the community outreach and the public input was, and then have a plan adopted after final revisions by the city and DMA and the stakeholders. And then we'd begin the actual implementation drafting of those. There would be an action plan, looking at the capital improvements plan and looking at the update to the zoning ordinance, which is underway. But overall, that's kind of our vision from the initial micro, trying to get our board pulled together. And then from a macro standpoint, if you wanted us to facilitate a broader outreach and input process.
Great, thank you. Councilmember Kavanaugh first.
Thank you. Back on the events issue, I think that there you have a separate corporation, Ultimate Imaginations, I'm assuming it's still viable. I know it's not functioning, but I think it's existing. That is at least was the entity that could be used for event promotion, but I think isn't the issue is that under the contract with the city, we didn't provide any direct funds to that, so it depended on sponsorships and other fundraising to be able to do that. So that's a part of the issue is both the budget for the board that they deal with as well as the contract with the city. I think the framework is there to be able to have a legal entity to take a focus on event activities, but yeah, I think it's a lack of funding. Is that where we're part of the issue?
That's 100% correct, Councilman.
And then the an Ultimate Imaginations right now, when I say even facilitation, there's certain events like the old West Days that actually brought Channel 3 down here for 4 hours. We actually, Ultimate Imaginations filled out the permit. I think they paid $100 for it. We actually let them come under our insurance policy because we have a good record over the years. I think they only had to pay $100 again. They would have paid thousands of dollars trying to set up a new one. So we kind of work with the different organizations depending on their level of sophistication and whether they're, you know, a lot of them aren't 501c3s like the Chris Kendall Mart who we work with. They got their own insurance, et cetera. But we hear what you're saying in terms of events. We know we've surveyed out in terms of, and we just never have, from an assessment standpoint, we never have gotten the total support, but it might be one of those that we figure out a share. If we did this and the sponsorship was a third and, you know, whatever, the public supporter side of it was a third, maybe there's a way that we just have to figure out how to cobble it together because we have not figured out how one entity, whether the city doing it or us doing it or the private sector alone, it doesn't seem like any individual sector has been able to carry it.
Well, I think one of the problems is that if you have just one entity, then it has a tendency to drown out others who have great ideas. So you need this joint effort. But on the other hand, if you have a lot of different entities, then nobody steps up and nothing seems to get done. And somehow we need to have that situation where some entity, and in the past a lot of times it was the city, let's face it. They're the ones that cut the checks. They're the ones whose staff ran some of these events. And the DMA would get involved and the merchants would get involved. But you've got to have one entity that takes the lead and acts both as the entity that drives some programs but also facilitates or supports other programs to allow the individual businesses and landowners to have events or groups to have events I mean, the more events, the greater. The more people we bring down. Vibrant is a great word, and the more vibrancy we create in the downtown area, the better off we all are. So, you know, maybe we need to get together with you. It's, once again, we are the largest landowner in downtown, whether we like it or not. And I'd love to see that change, but not through a real estate, but through an activity transition. We probably need to get together, and as part of this ongoing effort, let's try and figure out a formula or a framework where we can have a go-to organization entity. And I don't know whether it's the, what was the name of that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, whether it's that and reinvigorating that through some joint effort or whatever. I think there needs to be one entity that sort of is the driver for downtown activities, either to act as the one that leads the charge or the one that is certainly the resource. And it's known who that is, because right now I think that's sort of up in the air. I mean, that's something I hear a lot. Councilmember Richens and I have talked quite a bit about this with some of the things he did and some of the insights he gave me as far as, you know, sometimes there's a who's in charge, who do we go to? There's a question about that. And so that probably is part of your process. I'd like to see that embedded, that we come to some sort of plan or decision and a plan of action, who's going to be in charge and how are we going to do it, how are we going to fund it? Okay, Councilmember Fenter.
Thank you, Mayor. I know we briefly went by this, and there is a matter of time. Item 10 that you talked about, increasing downtown sphere of influence. And what I gather from that is it looks like you're talking about enhanced special improvement district a few miles maybe outside the original border that you currently work in. You know, I got ahead of myself. Ms. Russell, thank you for all the work that you and your board are doing. I appreciate there's so much that goes into this, and I know that we're looking. There's a lot of positive things that come out of this. I did have a concern about this item. I kind of got ahead of myself, but thank you for that work. I don't know. You know, I've watched Mayor mentions Councilman Richens. I think everyone realizes that outside the original downtown, there's some challenging areas that need some work. I've learned, and I consider Councilman Richens an expert on some of the tools that are available out there. I'm not quite sure or convinced that this special improvement district or enhancing it or spreading it out miles from its original orientation is probably the best way to go. I keep an open mind. I'm hoping that that we can have some more of those discussions and see what's the best way to do this. If you were taking from this meeting and saying, well, here's our top 10, and this is our strategy to take out to the community to get feedback, I would say personally, and I don't speak for anybody else, I would not pursue that. So I'm hoping there's a different way to look at having the influence spread without expanding this particular special use or special improvement district. Maybe there's another tool or another opportunity. So just want to get that input in. Thanks, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Richens?
Forgot already how to use the blue button.
I think it seems to me that there's a proposal on the table here from you guys about this down, a very broad public participation visioning process for downtown. Am I understanding that right with this piece of paper?
I think in terms of discussion with the mayor and others, as you look at it, and the paradigm shift, like the mayor said, in terms of a lot of times before, the city used to just cut a check for special events. Well, they also used to cut a check for consultants. I mean, most of these plans cost $100,000 or whatever about every 10 years or so. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So I think what our corporation is saying, you know, we've undertaken kind of this micro process. If that template is satisfactory to you, we're willing to take that out to the, obviously the city is the major property owner, and to the stakeholders and to the community at large in a broader way. I think what we'd like to do is talk more specific in terms of sharing. If we're going to spend, you know, the staff time in terms of doing that, is to share the cost with the city if there's venues to meet or mailings. And I think a lot of this can be done electronically. I don't think it's as expensive as it used to be. But some of the different mailings and probably the final printing of the plan, and a lot of that can be done electronic these days too. But I think that would be our proposal, is to say, if you're you're accepting of us in terms of a planning process, number one, and number two, in terms of us being a neutral facilitator. I mean, we kind of know what we think. We're not out there to tell people necessarily what we think. We want to know more what they would think, and then we have a kind of an interaction to say what we think.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because I was wondering how locked in these, you know, the different pieces or the elements are. I mean, if you really want input, then there's some stuff that, like, for example, you know, when Council Member Finter hit on number 10, I'll hit on number 1. I know Lehigh will go ballistic in my district over a 202 Mesa Drive interchange. That's just a hot button issue that, you know, so when we start going out and getting community input, you know, how much of that can we be creative with? So you're saying you're willing to undertake a process that says, hey, you know, we realize we're the square mile, but our patrons are everyone outside the square mile, and so you want to know what we think about coming to downtown, right, and what we want to see when we come there?
Obviously, it's a community downtown. It's not a DMA downtown. It's not a city downtown. It's not just the stakeholders downtown. It's a community downtown. So I think it's all of our visioning together, and we will bring you back those inputs, and I think we'd take those and meld it. And I can tell you, I think I remember from one of the meetings 20 years ago, it's one of the few meetings about got booed out of there, where we talked about the 202 Mesa Drive interchange, but we'll be objective and come back and tell you what the input was from that area. So we'll be neutral in terms of our facilitation to say, here was the input. And I think we're going to bring it back, and obviously with city staff, planning staff, et cetera, is to go through and pull it together to see if we can have a consensus to bring back to council in November.
Also, I think this helps us a little bit in decision-making and driving some of the vision that we have for our downtown as far as, you know, a municipal buildings master plan. I don't know if we have something like that or if we've ever done. Chris, have we ever done anything like that, or is there something on the books that talks about that? Are you awake?
Just bang my knee. You know, we have talked long term about what those goals would be. We agree we'd like to bring back a lot of our offices to a central campus area. Again, it's a financial issue that we've have, and we have the South Campus, which has tremendous amount of space that we continue to use, and we're trying to move out of, right now our goal is to move out of space that we have to actually lease from somebody else and go into city-owned facilities. But we can imagine someday having, you know, a consolidated campus here nearby. But on the same hand, there is a concern to do that, but we also look east. We also recognize there's a tremendous amount of services we have to provide in the east part of our community. Okay. And so those are the way we've looked at it.
Any other questions? Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. Back to that question I had about, as a property owner organization, you have an assessment on property owners. What, you know, how is that a lot of money? How big is that budget compared to the amount the city actually funds for open space management?
The round numbers, I think the assessment coming this year will be about $275,000. Public space management, I think, is going to be 235, somewhere in that range. So, and I think what Crystal was talking about is with the improvement district, it's based on benefits derived to the property owners. It's not based on value of, it's not a property tax. It's not based on value of the property. So it's benefits derived. So we couldn't, as you balance that throughout the whole square mile, to the different 250 property owners, a number of property owners, if they're industrial or whatever, they're not interested in a special events. We could spend a certain amount working towards that, but for example, you couldn't take the 275 and say we're going to be a special events group. I mean, they could, by, you know, according to the legislation, they could go and say we're not getting the benefits derived, so they could, you know, the assessment could be challenged in that regard. So we have to be careful as to how we actually look at how we do our services throughout the entire square mile. So it's not a homogeneous area. There's like seven different areas kind of in the downtown.
And how much public space is there actually in that square mile that the $500,000 takes care of?
Well, it's about...
I mean, is it acreage? Is it...
Well, in terms of there's 640 acres in a square mile. 35% of that is just in streets and alleys and right-of-ways. So in terms of that overall part. And then we actually take with, there's about 50 acres of city, different vacant land, et cetera, that you put on that. So basically the city owns about 55%. If you take the streets and alleys, the entire public realm, if you will, as well as buildings and redevelopment areas, the city owns about 55% of the total land area. So 640 acres, call it 325 acres, that half of the area that the city actually owns.
But the city we take care of our own property. We don't pay you to maintain our property.
We maintain the, in terms of redevelopment, vacant property, we maintain those vacant properties in terms of weeds and those type of things. The city maintains, obviously, their own city facilities in terms of the different campuses where they have buildings.
Well, and the parking, yeah, and public areas, parking garages and things like that you
right.
take
we,
care
we
of
may,
also.
Right. We may, as part of the parking contract, we maintain all of the parking garages, whether it's graffiti or litter. Yeah,
basically maintains the property also.
Right.
But that's separate from, like, the $500,000 we just added together. You added...
No, that's not separate. That's part of it.
My budget said, well, no, Tom said you had like $230,000 came from the city for open space management, 200 and ish, 30 comes from the property owner organization from
275.
So that's like, I'm just rounded, 500,000. Isn't there an additional budget item for parking management also?
Yes.
So that's not included in that $500,000.
Right. It's not included. It's only, that's for decaling the spaces, managing the spaces, recommending any sign changes. We obviously decaling, collecting the money for the decals, maintaining the spaces in terms of cleanliness, graffiti, whatever the case may be on any of those. There's 30 different parking lots and 4 different parking garages in terms of maintaining those facilities from a cleanliness maintenance standpoint.
So that is included in that $500,000. And then the other part for parking management and then parking enforcement, those are a different set of...
Right.
And I don't know if this is the right space to ask this. Let me go back to the property owner organization. So your board, is it made up of just property owners since they're the people putting money into the organization?
No.
Ostensibly, yes, but no. We have, it's a volunteer organization, and it's business owners that are in the downtown area and property owners. And we try to have a representative sample from
hey, Crystal, let's differentiate. Business owners, it may be a business owner who's leasing a business space.
Correct.
So
that is correct.
They'll be on the board, but they're not a property owner, but they are a business owner.
And conversely, it might be a residential owner who right. doesn't have a business but happens to be in the downtown area. And we do try to have a representation of all the different types of owners and representatives in the square mile area. And so our primary consideration in our board selection is in the downtown area.
So the budget, the assessment that you get through your organization, you said was $270,000? So your board's only responsible for spending that money, and then the money that comes through the city to the DMA is a different board?
No, it all comes through. Just, I guess, round numbers, it's less than this, but less than $1 million, our total budget, assessment, public space management, parking, and other ways we generate different dollars, advertising, et cetera. The board actually manages those and all of those. All of those contracts actually comes through our board.
Okay.
Councilman Richards?
I just had one other quick question. We are the largest property owner downtown. Do we pay a proportionate share of the other downtown property owners pay an assessment based on where they are in downtown, Main Street, Colonnade, industrial area. Is the assessment the city of Mesa pays as a property owner within the special improvement district the same as other private sector property owners, and why or why not?
It's not the same, but it is, I think it's 1.5 cents per square foot, and it covers the entire square mile.
And that compares to how, to the private sector?
$275,000, but there's four in the there's a formula, and there's four different zones in the downtown. For example, the downtown core pays a higher assessment because, for example, that going back to benefits derived, they get high pressure spray cleaning, they get a maintenance person twice a day on the street. On the exterior, there's only one time. On the perimeter, university brought a maintenance person example goes one time around that area. So it's a higher level of service in that core area.
So we pay 1.5 cents flat rate. What would another Main Street business pay?
A little over 10 cents in the Main Street, but somebody else out on the perimeter might be a cent and a half, for example, out on the perimeter, because they don't do the special events, they don't get the high pressure spray cleaning in terms of the level of services.
Okay. And is that based on only, is that based on built property or vacant property or both?
Total ownership in terms of total property.
Okay. So it's 1.5 cent per foot on the dirt,
on the,
basically.
On any public owner that the city owns in terms of property.
Okay. Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you. So back to that the $230,000 that the city does fund DMA for open space management, is that our assessment for our property, or is that in addition to our assessment on our property?
It's basically your assessment for the property. In other words, you're not doubling up, you're just paying on that.
So the open space management line item is actually our portion, our assessment, just like any other property owner in the city would be paying.
Right, but it's 1.5 cents. I mean, it's a different formula that over the years that we've kind of agreed to for the different services that we provide for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Vice Mayor.
I just want to say it's been my privilege to sit on the board for 6.5 years and become acquainted with all the representatives. There's been a change over the years of those who have come and gone from the board, but it's been a pleasure because there's been a lot of dedicated individuals who have done a lot of work to try and improve the downtown, and it's still a challenge. It will be a challenge for some time as we work to develop that, but I think we've come a long ways even in the time that I've been here on the council and sitting with the board. So I want to thank you for all your efforts.
Thank you.
And I'd like to just say thank you so very much for this. I mean, when we met last July, you're right, it was a very straightforward meeting, and I think there's a lot of work to be done, but I appreciate the challenges that you have. You know, the whole challenges of downtown with the way the city finances have gone in the last few years and the sudden shift, I guess, in emphasis and in abilities to do things has certainly affected what we do downtown. Just so there's some clarity as to why we and this council has pointed to downtown as a point of emphasis ongoing. I know there's a lot of people who feel that downtowns and efforts in downtown are sort of a warm and fuzzy, nostalgic type of thing. And while I think you made the comment that downtown is the heart of the city, that holds true to a degree, but that's not what really drives us. We need a vibrant downtown because it signifies our health as a city in many ways. The other thing is that this is the center of government. This is our home. This is the citizens of Mesa's home. This is where most of the government functions get done, and that's why it's also important. But we have much more of a vested interest. As the largest landowner, most of our land that we own here is unproductive, which means that for the 25 acres that's sitting down there on Mesa Drive and University, we don't collect any electrical utilities, we don't collect any gas fees, we don't collect any trash pickup, we don't collect any water or sewer. And so that is unproductive land that used to be contributing to the economy of Mesa, and now, as Councilmember Higgins points out, we pay now to maintain those properties, to keep them up, and it's a drag. So we have a very much an economic interest in seeing downtown expand and grow. And I think the citizens should understand that that's very important to this council. And that's why one of the initiatives that we adopted last September,
was to emphasize downtown and to change our approach to our real estate holdings from one of simply treating those as pieces of real estate to sell to those are opportunities to create activity and to create economic activity that will come back to benefit the community as a whole, both economically and I believe in many other ways. I think creating a vibrant downtown is important. I appreciate the vision and the work that's gone into this. It's obvious that there's been a lot of thought, a lot of work, and I appreciate the fact that it is it's a starting point. But it's great to start from a good foundation. You mentioned consultants in there, and we tend to jump toward consultants way too often, I think, because I believe that within the city, within the community, we have as much brain power as any consulting group ever imagined. I know that on your board and within your property owners, they have an idea or opinions and great ideas as to how we can come together. The question is, how do we bring them together? How do we become focused? How do we create a plan that's actually going to work? One of the bad things about consulting reports is that we pay that $100,000. We read it. It looks really nice and goes on a shelf because there's no ownership. The consultant is one that owns it. I'm hoping that through this process, while it's not as focused as a consultant would be, that we create the type of ownership that as people go through the process, they recognize now the burden is on them to implement those things that are coming up. So from that, I'm excited about going forward. I recognize the challenges of pulling all the parties together and coming up with something that an action plan that really is workable. But I think that as we work together, it'll be our action plan, not some hired guns action plan that nobody's going to really take ownership in. So I'm excited about that process. I look forward to it. And I as you can tell, there's a lot of interest and a lot of questions. And going forward, I commit to you that we as a city will be actively involved. And we're going to revisit our involvement because you've raised some questions in my mind as to whether we should become more active. I think that on the surface, it sounds good to cut back funding for things such as events and stuff like that because it's a line item in a budget. We look at it as, we can't afford that. But on the other hand, as you look at us and the assets we have in downtown and what they represent, the question is, why are we not investing in those assets? Because if we believe that the return on that investment is much greater than just sitting here, why did we cut that off? So I think that you've raised some interesting questions for us as a council as to what our role as a city should be. And not from a warm and fuzzy standpoint, from a bare bones, straightforward, almost business and community investment type of effort, because downtown is important to us as a community and it is important to us as a city government. So I look forward to this process and whatever we can do as a city to work with you to make this come to pass, please keep that open dialogue coming and let us know, okay?
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. Next item on the agenda is we need to hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended, but the first report we need to hear is from Councilmember Richens. Mr. Richens, update, please. Did you have some event or meeting?
I had an event I attended on Monday. It was pretty cool. Mom and baby came home yesterday evening, and they're doing great. We've named her Camille Marie. I believe there's a Camille Richens in the community already, Dwayne Richens and Camille Richens. So we ripped off her name. I hope she doesn't mind, but we think highly of her. So, the baby's doing great, eating great, and everything's well. My mother-in-law's here, and thank heavens for her. Thanks.
That has been noted on the public record. Councilmember Richens thanks heavens for his mother-in-law. All right. Another event?
No.
Councilmember Summers, do we have an event or meeting?
Oh, it's a milestone, isn't it?
I think it's a milestone.
I have a lot of meetings today that I'm looking forward to getting to.
And any other kind of event?
Do I move to adjourn?
It's not on the agenda yet.
It's going to fail for a lack of a second.
That's right. Today is Councilmember Summers' birthday. So you and Camille will almost share a birthday.
And I also appreciate my mother-in-law.
Okay. Happy birthday to Councilmember Summers.
We would sing, but I don't see that as an agenda item. And we would be in,
Debbie's waving.
Ms. Spinner would say, if it's not on the agenda, no songs. It has to be agenda. Well, congratulations and happy birthday. And you are the most important person today. That's what happens. You and your mother-in-law. Okay? Any other reports on meetings?
Yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, Councilmember Richards, you want to report on that?
Probably.
Okay.
Last Thursday and Friday, I attended the Arizona Transit Association Rail Conference at Tempe Palms. Even took light rail back from it one day. But it was really interesting to see the efforts undergoing in our state on light rail and commuter rail and high-speed rail. And it's very fascinating what's happening nationally due to stimulus funds. But it was a really interesting conference. I believe Mayor Smith had he was on a panel there and spoke and also took a ride on light rail with our congressman, if I recall right. The conference ended with a keynote speech by Chairman Overstar of the House Transportation Committee, and it was really interesting listening to some of the historical context of that committee and what they envisioned for the United States over the next few years.
And to advance that, one of the interesting things about as light rail that has happened as light rail has gone through its now second 2.5 months of operations is that the Mesa share of light rail, the actual rail within our community represents a little less than 5% of the total mileage of rail. And yet our Sycamore Center represents a little over 12% of the ridership. So we've proven that we are a real contributor to the overall success right now of light rail, which has Metro very excited about the possibilities as they look toward extending into downtown and beyond. So that's something that's come out about that. And speaking of transportation, although I didn't get to attend, I'd like to reiterate our disappointment with what happened at the ADOT board the other day. And I think it points out the challenges that we have in the stimulus package. The stimulus package is a shot in the arm. It's something that the President and Congress presented as something to get people back to work, I think, is its stated purpose. And if we can get people back to work and also achieve other goals and objectives, which are primarily infrastructure-driven, then we've succeeded. And I think we're missing the point as we make decisions on these stimulus dollars. They are federal monies. They are paid by every citizen in this country. And I think the intent was that they be distributed back as equitably as possible to communities. What we have is we're having stimulus monies that are coming back into funneled through the state primarily that are being plugged into regular programs. I don't believe that was the intent of the stimulus. I don't believe that's a wise purpose of the stimulus, because by plugging into a program, and I support 100% Prop 400, for example, but Prop 400 is a 20-year program, which has ebbs and flows and at any given time has certain priorities. By plugging all stimulus monies into a program such as simply Prop 400, what you do is you create an unintended consequence, which is to throw stimulus money to a specific area or project or whatever, which creates a very disproportionate effect. For example, the ADOT funds not only, I believe, are disproportionate as it relates to the entire state, with Maricopa County receiving slightly more than one-third of state transportation funds, which does not really fit well when you have over 70%. And I understand the debate over rural versus urban. And in normal programming, I completely support how we do this. Maricopa County is a net donor county. And that's okay, because the entire state, through normal program formulas, that is fine. Stimulus is different. However, we're creating big problems because of the money that came to Maricopa County, every single project is west of I-17, which creates an accumulation and a gross disproportionate allocation of federal stimulus funds, which I think should benefit all communities. So that's just an editorial comment as it relates to
what happened. And I think we need to be very careful. There's a lot of stimulus monies that are coming out, a lot of people fighting over things. We recently learned yesterday that stimulus funds that we expected for Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport are not coming to fruition because at the federal level they determined that stimulus monies would go toward safety concerns rather than economic activity concerns, capacity, what they call them. It seems counterproductive to have stimulus funds that are earmarked to create jobs and create economic activity that then go for activities that don't create economic activity. And we can make that argument both for the 802 freeway, which clearly is an economic driver, which will have long-term effects and ramifications that are positive. And we look at the airport monies, you know, if increasing capacity at airport is not an economic driver, I have no idea what is. So we have a real problem in that we have that once again, this program, which is intended to jumpstart our economy, which has in many ways been hijacked by policymakers to fulfill other regular program priorities, which really are counterproductive to the main goal, which is to create economic activity. Sure, they create goals or jobs. But I think if you're an engineer and you are working on 802 and now don't have any work, I'm wondering why they aren't as important as the construction worker that would be working. I mean, to me, jobs are jobs. And we're missing the opportunity to have a real economic driver. So that's the status. We're obviously disappointed. We're going to work other avenues. I have had some discussions with ADOT board members who have indicated to me that ADOT is moving toward looking at other ways to restore funding to the 802, which has now been four times, given and taken away and given and taken away. So I have some assurances from ADOT board members that they are working toward putting that through their regular program. I'm hoping that will take place. We'll monitor that carefully. We are looking at, and from the FAA has also indicated to us that even though Gateway's capital programs and capacity issues were not included in stimulus, that they will take top priority in the regular funding, and there is money. You know, I guess we're getting a little bit jaded because we've heard this story before, and we're just wait and see and make sure that that comes out. We have some exciting things going on in the city. You know, they're not dependent upon federal stimulus, but it would be nice if our opportunities, which I believe create huge economic activity, could take advantage of monies that were intended to create economic activity. So that's just a little bit of a report on where we are on stimulus monies and funding. Okay. There was some other money, good news that came through. 3 years ago, 2006, was that when it was? Or 2004? A few years ago, Arizona voters approved, I believe it was Prop 203, yeah, which was the first things first, which earmarks money to early childhood development. In the city of Mesa, we have been leaders in this effort through the Mesa United Way and their Ready to Learn project, which is targets children from birth through age five as far as childhood early mental development. It, you know, a lot of studies have shown that if you can create mental activity and creative activities for small children, there is a direct correlation between their early childhood development and their success in school and career and that kind of thing. The voters of Arizona approved this plan, and we got the first checks were under this plan were are just now being passed out, and there was about $8.5 million that was delivered to the Southeast Maricopa region, which includes Mesa, Gilbert, Queen Creek, and the unincorporated areas of East Mesa. So we went to an event yesterday at the Mesa Family Center, which is there on 817 North Country Club. Beautiful facility. You can't see it from the road because it's tucked back in. But I believe that was Mr. Richards with Community Development Block Grants played a role in some of that a long time ago. Child Crisis, Family Resource Center, and stuff like that. So it's a great, yeah, I call it something else, but I can never remember which name they're called by. But that was yesterday, and Ms. Nadine Mathis-Basha, who is the chair, presented that check yesterday, and the Vice Mayor and I and Ms. Carrie Kent had the opportunity to attend that yesterday. So that was that. Any other events attended? No other birthdays? Just yours? Okay. Any other mothers-in-law we want to recognize this morning? Okay. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder that this evening at 6:30 p.m., we'll have a Building Stronger Neighborhoods meeting. It will be at the LDS Church at 1007 South 72nd Street. So invite those who are invited to that meeting. And we have on Monday, March 9th, Councilmember Higgins is hosting a prayer breakfast, which starts at 8 a.m. at the Arts Center on the Alliance Terrace. And our next study session will be Thursday, March 12th. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Richens wants to... Since you were gone last Monday and we talked about your top to bottom.
Yeah, I was gone on Monday. We had the top to bottom event. It's been interesting to hear. We had almost 700 volunteers at the city event, but as time has gone on, I've heard from other constituents who have said that they did projects in their individual neighborhoods and that they didn't come down to the city part of it. And so there's really a lot that got done that Saturday. I want to specifically thank Kathy McDonald, Cynthia Garza, and Katie Brown of our city staff who did a tremendous amount of heavy lifting to make this work and to make it a successful event. And I just publicly want to praise them and thank them for how much they did to make this a great event. And yeah, I was reluctant to call it an annual event from the beginning, but we've gotten such a huge response that people really feel we should do that regularly. But we'll still reserve that. But anyway, I just wanted to thank them publicly for all the work they did and all the citizens who turned out and did such great work that day. I was really proud to be a citizen of Mesa that day, and I think we really fulfilled the adage of building a better Mesa. Thanks.
Thank you. Or Arizona, as the governor said yesterday. We won't go there, though. Okay. Anything else? We have one request to speak from a citizen. Mr. Gary, is that Stevers, sir?
Stevers.
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 Oh, okay.
Now, in the tradition of Harry Carey, the more off-key you sing, the better. So please don't disappoint us. Sing off-key. I'll sing the chorus, and you sing the second time. I'll watch. That's it. Go, Cubs, go. Go, Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are gonna win today. Go ahead, it's your turn. Go, Cubs, go. Go, Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are gonna win today.
Oh, that's right.
Now, that hopefully starts off what I'm going to talk about. I'm from the state of Illinois, the land of Lincoln, and where the last four of the seven governors have gone to jail. All I can say is there's been a lot of stinking thinking in the land of Lincoln. So I'm also a switch hitter. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, so I was a Sox fan at the beginning. And then I went to Northwestern. I was a walk-on in baseball, and I was a Cub fan there. I walked on one day, and the coach looked at me and says, you better walk off tomorrow. He says, you can't run, you can't throw, and you can hit a little. Which made me feel good because Fred Astaire, when he first did his screen test for Daryl Zanuck, said, you can't sing, you can't act, but you can dance a little. So he ended up having a pretty good career. All right, so I'm actually a switch hitter, but in the spirit of Mickey Mantle, not Milk, because I grew up on the south side and then went to school on the north side. Why am I here? Well, I'm representing the Ferguson Jenkins Foundation and also the Mesa Holcomb Foundation. Fergie's having his night on March 25th at 7:10. And last year he had 6,000 empty seats. This year they're projecting about 2,500 empty seats. And they want to do a partnership with two local organizations, you guys, and also Mesa Community College is trying to start a booster group. So if they can sell out by the 18th, they're going to put somebody on WGN TV at Holcomb Park on the 24th. When the Cubs play the Rockies, that's one day before Fergie's deal. Now, I suggested that they put me on TV, but they said I had a face made for radio. And they suggested that I go into politics because that's show business for ugly people. That's where I belong.
Ooh.
But the problem is, if I did do that, I'd have to run against Councilman Kavanaugh, who has a face made for television, so I couldn't do that. Did I read that just the way you wrote that, Dennis? No, I know Councilman Cavanaugh before. He was a substitute speaker for Congressman Rhodes if we needed him one time at a patriotic tribute we had after 2001. So he's a good guy. And he didn't write that. I did. So anyway, the thing is, on March 24th on WGN, they want to put one person on television. So I suggested either Dr. Pan or Scott Smith, the mayor, or both. So they've given you the ball here. What they need is a partnership between the two groups to help sell out the Fergie Jenkins thing. Okay, so that's one thing. Now, what else are we doing here? We're also representing the Mesa Community College. They're trying to start a booster club. They've never had a booster club. Scottsdale Community College, Glendale Community College have had booster clubs. Mesa's got 25,000 people, and they don't have a booster club. Now, they hired me to be the football announcer because they found out I used to do UCLA, the California Angels, Lakers, et cetera, and they're going to send me on the road for radio. They're going to keep my face off TV, but I'm going to do the radio for the football team. So they want to have a booster club kickoff on March 24th. If they sell out the Cubs have agreed to come to Mesa Community College the day before and come to the gym from 6 to 8 and sign autographs, and that will kick off the booster club. They might get 500 or 1,000 people to sign up for the booster club while they're getting autographs from the Cubs. Also, they can sell some charter memberships. So it's a partnership between the city of Mesa, Mesa Community College, and the Cubs. And what they estimate, if they're 2,500 short, they said they'd cut the price to $750 if they could sell them all out. And they'd give them to little leaguers, retirees, firemen, policemen, everybody else that, veterans, everybody else that they think they should be able to do it. The only problem is they've got 2 weeks before March 18th, and even if they cut it by 75%, that puts it under, it would be 12.5 each for Mesa College and City of Mesa. That would put it down to 9.5. That's under five figures. I know that's impossible, but, you know, everything is the impossible dream. So Mesa College wants their booster club, and the City of Mesa probably wants a wonderful relationship for a long time with the Cubs because their contract comes up in 2012, as we all know. So that's the proposal, and I'm sure I'm out of time. But just to end, let's say a one and a two. Take me out to the ball. God, are these people awake? Where's the coffee machine? You all know the song. Take me out to the ball game.
We miss Harry Carey.
All right, we haven't got time for this. This is for you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Anybody pass that down? I don't want to throw it at him. And also they
go ahead, throw it at him. You wouldn't be the first.
They've donated a Chicago clincher 16-inch softball. So anybody want a clincher 16-inch softball?
Thank you, Mr. Severs. Appreciate it. Okay, Ms. Crocker, are there any other requests to speak?
No other requests, Mayor. I don't think anyone thought they could follow up on that.
Does anyone dare speak after that, is what we should say. Well, thank you, Mr. Severs. You brought some energy and excitement to this meeting this morning.
Just don't tell my wife I was here, please.
It's on TV and will be rerun 14 times before next week. So just keep her away from Channel 11. You'll be safe. All righty. We'll entertain a motion to move into executive session. We have a motion, a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are now moving into executive session. Thank you very much.